Good morning and welcome to your morning tradition. Monday morning coming down here at Magnificat Radio and MagnificatMedia.com. Mike and Lisa Austin in the bunker down in the... We got to come up with a better name for our studio here in the basement. It's impressing to call it the dungeon, the bunker. The cave of creativity.
Oh, there you go.
Whatever. We are
living our faith.
Yeah, so things coming up there, it was a wild weekend. A lot of activity. Of course, more things happening with that shooting in Oregon. Those of you on the West Coast, that hurricane, what is that hurricane? Joaquin. Okay. Hurricane Joaquin, real nasty. So those of you on the East Coast, our prayers go out to you. Mm-hmm. And, well, our prayers for our church leaders coming up with the synod.
Absolutely.
Very soon. So we pray for the synod.
Right.
After talking to Father Peter Scott the other day about the most unsavory and uncomfortable subject of homosexuality, then there was a story that came out on Saturday about a priest coming out.
Yes, I know.
He was a Polish. Was he a Polish priest?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
It's unfortunate.
Who knows where it's all going to end?
That's why we need the prayers. That's why we're doing the reparation. That's why we're saying our rosaries.
Say extra rosaries. Say extra prayers. I forget, we were having a conference once. He said, if you can say one rosary, say two.
Right.
And try and find the time. Make the time. Other things coming up this week. I mentioned before, Lisa and I are going to be on a trip. Sort of business, sort of not. It's kind of a mixture of business and pleasure. We rarely get a chance to get away, and the business trip came up, and so we said, let's make it a business/pleasure trip. So we are going to be, for the most part this week, doing sort of best of stuff here on your morning tradition. However, we will be doing updates. I'm taking the studio on the road.
Yes.
And so you never know. We will have a fresh saint of the day every day. And there may be some segments that are fresher. For instance, today.
Yes.
Although technically today we don't start until tomorrow morning. But I mean the trip. Today is Monday. It's Monday. We haven't even started the trip yet.
No, though. It's tomorrow.
Rita Davidson is going to join us. And you remember Rita, as hopefully you do, the Little Flower Family Press. Her book is Immodesty, Satan's Virtue, and we talked to her for a long time. The last time, was it like a week ago?
Right, it was a week ago.
And she, her story, first of all, the book's been out since 2000, but then they had a devastating fire.
Right.
And I thought it would be interesting to continue the conversation with her because we didn't get a chance to get her whole story in before.
Exactly.
Because quite frankly... And these aren't approved things, of course not, but we're all surrounded by miracles more than we know. And you just don't realize it. And I'm telling you, in her story, there are some things that happened with the fire, them getting out, with what well, I'm going to let her tell the story. Just miracles, I think.
Right.
Because I think God wanted this work to be done. Immodesty, Satan's virtue. She is in the midst of
Structuring,
reissuing, however you want to do it, adding to the book, because it was all burned up.
Right. Well, most of it was intact. Most of it was.
But they had to find it in the
rubble, right.
Well, let's let her tell the story.
Yeah,
And then more about when she's going to relaunch that book and all that. Rita Davidson's going to be on via Skype with us in today's couple of segments. Wednesday is the Battle of Lepanto.
I know.
Anniversary of.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. I've shot emails off to Christopher Check, and I haven't heard back. Christopher, if you're listening, call me. He has my number.
I know.
I don't know if you knew this. Have we mentioned about all of those? If Angela's Press, if you get the Christopher Check Lepanto series, a Lepanto lecture series. Mm-hmm. There's St. Joan of Arc. There's Henry VIII. There's the Battle of Lepanto wasn't recorded, but he did the Battle of Lepanto, War of the Vendée.
Mm-hmm.
Have we mentioned this before?
I don't think so. It's on our website.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
He recorded those lectures right here in this studio.
Right.
At our house. And we were graced and blessed with him coming by because it was cool. He'd come and record and then we'd talk.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a little free history lesson. But and he is out west now.
He is. He's in California.
Yeah, with Catholic Answers. He's working with them. So just an outstanding individual. I love Christopher Check. Anyway, we're going to maybe we'll grab some of the audio from the Lepanto, his lecture on the Battle of Lepanto.
That would be awesome.
We'll air some of that Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So that's where we are. What am I missing, Lisa? Am I missing anything besides a few brain cells?
Yeah.
No?
I think that's it, Mike. Yeah. A couple of brain cells. I'll agree with that.
What do we have new coming on the website that we... Oh, I hope you enjoyed the Mass yesterday.
Yes.
That was cool.
Yes.
And that is going to be an every Sunday thing, an every Sunday event. We will have the live streamed video and audio of the Mass at
8 o'clock.
Yeah, but what's the church?
St. Thomas More.
There we go. St. Thomas More in Sanford, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bruce Rhea. And so that's just an ongoing thing. Things continue to grow here at Magnificat Radio.
Right.
We had a couple of contacts over the weekend of people who are just finding the website and the connected radio station here, and had a few questions and
some more suggestions. So, right. We welcome all of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Things don't happen right away because it is just Lisa and I, but we're working on getting Vespers.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to do it. See, we want to do it more than just, we could just sit down here and read. We could just sit here and just, you know, have the kids come in and do. We're trying to get different folks and things
right
working it, so
we want to make it to sound pleasurable to the ears.
And beyond, well, hopefully this show, I don't know, this is a rough way to start it.
It could get pretty mundane if that's all you hear is our voices all the time.
I had the opportunity over the weekend, because I don't get a chance to listen to us at length, over the weekend, to hear us a little bit lengthier, and I'm going, probably get somebody else to do some of the voice work on here. Yeah, like, you know.
Well, that too is a work in progress, because we have to pay those people, so.
Or find time to schedule them, you know, get in front of them with a microphone and all of that. So
there's all kinds of logistics involved. So, yeah, absolutely.
Be patient with us, and please keep the suggestions coming. We appreciate that, and your prayers above all are more than welcome. Rita Davidson's going to be our guest coming up here in just a minute. But Lisa, this is a point of the show where I like to ask the question, how can you know where you're going
if you don't know where you've been?
That's why we do this day in history, you see. That's where we're at.
Any day in history.
Any day in history.
A day that will go down in history.
History of this day.
This day in history.
This day in history.
Today is October the 5th. It is the 278th day of the year of our Lord, 2015. There's 87 of these things left. 869 was the year the Fourth Council of Constantinople opened up. This is the council that it was called by Emperor Basil I and Pope Adrian II, and deposed Photios, who was a layman, and he was appointed by the Patriarch of Constantinople. And so they got rid of him and reinstated Ignatius. And the council then reaffirmed the decisions of the Second Council of Nicaea in support of icons, holy images, and required the image of Christ to have veneration equal to that of the Gospel book. And there you go.
That's a great one. Thank you. On this day in 1511, the Holy League was formed by Pope Julius II, Ferdinand of Aragon, who is from Venice in Swiss. I don't understand what that means.
Well, Ferdinand of Aragon and in Venice and the Swiss were also involved in the Holy League. This had to do with
Venice.
The,
yeah. And the
sometimes I abbreviate things in the history when I write it up, and Lisa goes, what are you talking about? Because I give like little dashes and dots. I don't write out the whole word.
Yeah.
So sorry.
It's really hard.
But this had to do with the Papal States and I think Northern Italy and all of that. But 1582, the Gregorian calendar was introduced in Italy and other Catholic countries. Thank you, Pope Gregory.
Yeah. On this day in 1793... is the French Revolution. Christianity is disestablished in France.
This very day. Again, reference the War of the Vendée, Christopher Check. 1877, Chief Joseph surrendered, ending the Nez Perce War. See the Father De Smet book on that one. There you go.
Cool. On this day in 1892...
Oh, wait a minute. I got to get you more music. There you
thank
go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There was a bank holdup in Kansas
on this day in
1892. And the Dalton Gang ends up in a shootout in Coffeesville.
What a cool name for a ville. Coffee.
Coffeeville.
If I ever have a town, I'm naming it Coffee. Either that or Mike Town. What do you think of that?
I don't know.
Hi, welcome to Mike Town.
Sounds like my town.
My kind of town, Mike Town is. And then there will be a picture of me on the welcome sign with like one of those robot hands, like my face with a robot hand up. We're going back and forth, waving. Hello,
oh, wow.
Welcome to Mike Town.
I don't think so.
I have big dreams. 1914 in World War I, this was the first aerial combat that resulted in a kill. And Snoopy was not involved with the Red Baron. Sorry.
Okay. On this day, October 5th, in 1947, it's the first presidential address televised from the White House. It was Harry Truman.
Hey, how about that? And in 1956, Lisa.
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments, directed by Cecil B. DeMille, starring Charlton Heston and Yul Brynner, opened in the U.S. Can I just give you a little present?
Please.
Okay, here we go.
Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground.
There you go, the Ten Commandments.
I love that.
This day made its debut, 1956. Now think about what was going on, and there are people listening who are around, your mom and dad.
Uh-huh.
When that thing debuted, and you're talking about people went to movies more.
Right.
This was a movie that had to have intermission. It was so long. You had to have time to get up and go get more juju bees and go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
It was long.
It was long.
And, you know, you're talking about huge color.
And
the scores
of music.
The music.
Beautiful.
The extras. The locations.
Yeah.
This was insane. This was great.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man. I love it.
God has set before you this day his laws of life and good and death. And evil, those who will not live by the law shall die by the law.
Thank you, Moses.
That's when he came down from the mountain.
Yeah, he threw him at him. He threw it at that golden calf.
Yeah.
And then the whole earth split open and stuff.
Wow.
That was awesome. Mm. So this day in history, 1956, we have the director's cut of that, and we watch that and Passion of the Christ every year at Easter.
Yeah, we do.
But if you ever find the director's cut of the Ten Commandments, Cecil B. DeMille comes out before and gives a speech.
He does.
On the stage, and sees a big red velvet curtain. He's in a suit,
mm-hmm.
and he gives this really inspiring speech.
It's really kind of neat.
Yeah. And then just for fun, those of you, if you're into the Ten Commandments at all, I use this quite often around the house whenever I tell the kids to do something.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Exactly. Your father has spoken.
You did a YouTube video about that, I think.
Yes.
Did you not?
Lisa,
maybe we should put that up.
I'm going to find that. No, but it wasn't so let it be written, so let it be done.
I thought it was.
No, it was the one where he tells her, she says, it was, I said that this was Lisa and this was our vows at our wedding.
Oh.
and it's where Yul Brynner says, she says, oh, you think I'm in love with you? He goes, love. You think this is love or something like that? And he says, you are but an instrument. I don't know what he says, but it's a great speech. And we did a YouTube video, and I don't think it was too scandalous. Please tell me it wasn't.
I don't remember. I thought it was that. So
no,
we'll have to look that up.
Yeah, and get a little chuckle. All right, we got to go do this because we've got some big time interviewing to do. Rita Davidson of the LittleFlowerFamilyPress.com is going to join us and talk about her book, Immodesty, Satan's Virtue. You may have this in your collection. It's been out since 2000, but they went a devastating fire.
Right.
They're still trying to bounce back, and she's getting ready, God willing, to reissue the book and then some. So we're going to talk about all that next. Mike and Lisa Austin here on Your Morning Tradition, Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com, where we are
living our faith.
Once again, we're back on Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com. Mike and Lisa Austin here on Your Morning Tradition, where we are
living our faith.
And we're going to be talking with Rita Davis here in a minute as we get her up here on Skype. Stay with us all week. You'll be hearing a little bit of best of stuff, but there might be some stuff from the road.
There might be.
So
it all depends on the day and how stressed out we are.
Yeah.
all that good stuff.
So, Rita Davidson's book, Immodesty, Satan's Virtue, from littleflowerfamilypress.com. If you go there now, I don't think you can get the book yet because she's reworking the book, but it's littleflowerfamilypress.com, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. And the relaunch of the book, the reason for the relaunch, as you remember last time, humongous fire, devastating fire, completely burns the house to the ground. All the books, everything's lost, and it was a devastating. Rita, first of all, via Skype, welcome back to your morning tradition. It's so nice of you to be back again. And
thank you for having me.
We left your story off before a little unfinished, and you have had such interesting experiences with this whole book, Immodesty, Satan's Virtue. As Lisa's mom always says, devil's got his tail in it.
Yeah.
And you have had your his tail into his share of your business, I guess.
Yes.
If you would please get back into your memory banks, and I don't want to bring up old memories and bad memories, but it is reality. It's your reality for bringing this book forward. If you could update us. Last we knew, you and your family were living on a campsite. The house had burned down. They had dug through the rubble. You had found a rosary and statues.
St. Margaretti.
Where do we go from there in your story?
Well, the very first night we were staying at a neighbor, and our van had melted as well. So we had no way of driving ourselves. So we had people driving us back and forth to a campsite. Mm. So on the third day, we had somebody drive us back to the site just to walk around. And that was when we found the picture of St. Therese laying on the ground right at the back of the house. Mm-hmm. And then just as we're trying to make sense of like the rubble, because it was so huge, I picked up a board, and as soon as I picked up a board, this snake slithered out
another
from underneath
snake.
The board. Another snake. We have snakes in our stories. And immediately, it was so obvious to me. I said, it was you. And part of me chuckled and part of me shivered because that's a really big thing to acknowledge that, oh, wow, it really was you. Anyway, so I snapped a picture of him. And I still have that picture of him coming out of underneath all the rubble. But the biggest thing that we found that day as well, my husband had found the statue of Our Lady. She's really, really black.
She's charred.
Wow, yeah.
And then we ended up finding, this is Our Lady of Fatima. This was a statue from Fatima that actually a friend of mine had gone to Fatima and sent it back. It was a statue of the three children and Our Lady of Fatima. So now you have to remember again how huge this was. 3,600 square feet. So this was like a 40 by, this was beyond a needle in a haystack to find anything. Right. It really was like this in, you know, a 30 by 40 foot, you know, 7 feet deep of rubble.
Pile.
Like how could you find, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it we couldn't even get through because it was just like boards and steel and that kind of thing. So there was only little pockets that we could really dig through.
You're digging through, you find the statues. And did you found hard drives with the book on it?
The biggest thing I wanted was to find the hard drives because all of our photos, everything is digital these days. All our photos, family photos would have been on there. And we always kept all of our hard drives. Like even after a computer was retired, mm-hmm. we just kept the hard drives. And I think it was on that third day, I think it was my husband was digging through some things and he threw something, because that's what we ended up doing, because you don't really think of it, but when you're digging through rubble, mm-hmm. you're just tossing over your arm because everything is garbage. So he tossed this thing and it turned out to be one of our hard drives. After finding a few things, we went back home. So there's two main things that I want to bring up. So we went back to the campsite, and I was of course always going to bed crying. And so this one night I woke up, and this would have been after we had found just enough stuff that reminded me there could be way more stuff in there that we hadn't gotten.
Right.
We were waiting for basically the dump trucks, like the fellows that were supposed to clean the stuff. We were waiting for them to come. And I was panicking because I'm thinking they're going to pull away all of our stuff out of there. So anyways, I had this dream that God spoke to me, said one thing. He said, you will find what you need and not what you want. And I woke up and it was so vivid. But again, as Catholics, we don't just like jump at every little, right, you know, thing that we have. So I just really, really pondered it. And I thought it was sort of like, I didn't necessarily believe it, but I wanted to believe it. But it was just something that comforted me, because I thought ultimately that's really all that matters, right? Is that we get what we need, not what we want. So out of 3,600 square feet, what do we really need?
Isn't that a metaphor for life itself, really? He gives us what we need.
Yes.
Not what we want. Because what we want is usually the wrong stuff.
And that, so, I mean, it was a comforting thing, because it gave me something to like center on, you know. We just felt like we were sort of like flailing. It's a very uncomfortable position to be in when you have nothing to like be centered on or focused on. You don't know where you're sleeping the next night. It's very insecure. You feel extremely vulnerable. And this gave me comfort, because I thought, okay, as much as I want my book and I want my hard drives and whatever I thought could be saved from there, I thought, really, it doesn't matter, because if God doesn't want me to go back to this work, then I won't find it, and then that'll be the end of the story. So really, it's about accepting this was his choice, this was his will, and out of 3,600 very jam-packed square feet, you know, what could we find, and what does it matter what we find? So I stuck with that, and literally, it's been 2 years now, and that still is ringing true. Like, that story is really not finished. In the sense that even now, some of the things that we get is still, it just brings me right back to that. You're getting what you need and not what you want. So, I mean, that's why that book is coming later. Right. Because the story is not finished. But we were trying to get back and forth to get more digging done. So on the third day that we were there, we showed up there and we knew this was the last time that we're going to be able to dig, because they were coming to... Well, actually, we had reached a point where we couldn't really find anything else. Like, everything was, you know, we were like literally elbow deep in charcoal. And I can remember different days just on how it reminded me of, you know, all the stories you hear about the war and the blackness. Like, you know, we had it all up our noses, even with masks on. And, you know, in your feet and just anyways, we never got clean for many months. You have to understand how overwhelming that blackness is, and finding nothing, like literally digging and digging and just like sand, just digging and finding nothing.
You're literally digging through your life, or what used to be your life.
Yeah.
And isn't it, I know you, maybe you're going to make this, but I'm just sitting here thinking this was the third day. On the third day, numbers mean things.
Numbers mean something. So this day, we had picked, I was digging in the back and the boys were playing around and Mark was digging around. And we had found a couple, you know, statues. There's a number of different things we had found. Over those three digging days, we had found all of our hard drives. So all the old hard drives, everything. We found all, actually, we had about six hard drives. We found all the hard drives except the one with the manuscript that was first edited. Because that was my laptop. We never found that one. Again, going back to, you'll find what you need, not what you want. So we found, for instance, all of my family tree and found all of my mother's family tree and my husband's family tree. And little things like, we found little tiny Ziploc bags of like hair clippings of my sons from when they were two, totally untouched.
Plastic bags, Ziploc bags, untouched in the fire.
Yes.
Isn't it? You find what you need, not what you want.
Yes.
And for some reason.
Exactly.
Wow.
Right. So you tie that into it. How do I need this? So found my mother's baptism certificate from 1940, like just totally untouched. But things like newspaper clippings. There was a newspaper clipping of my dad from 1960 where he shot a cougar out of a tree to save some kids. And that came out. And this is a brittle piece of newspaper. And so, you know, we were comforted, again, because it always confirmed you'll have what you need and not what you want. Then on this last day, so I picked up this wood. And underneath the wood, again, this is all black, there was these file folders that were really, really colorful. Like, if you ever get them at the dollar store,
yeah,
they're sort of paper, they're sort of like plastic. And so out of this blackness, there's these file folders, like really, really bright psychedelic colors. Oh. And I laughed. I laughed because I thought, I know what those are. And they're empty. I remember buying them and they were empty. I hadn't used them yet. But so I just laughed. I chuckled and I grabbed them and threw them. Because remember, we're throwing things, right?
Right.
So I threw it. Not expecting this, but as I throw it, they were just glued on the perfect sides. There was a collection of them. So they were glued on just the right angles. So when I threw it, it created an arc of color in the sky.
A rainbow.
Okay. Exactly. And that made me laugh because I just thought, sometimes God just has a way of just rubbing it in a little bit. I've been through enough things with him that he does. He just sort of rubs it in. So there's these colorful things. They're flying in an arc through the sky. And I look back what was under them, and there's my book sitting there, untouched, sitting there. And I'm like, you're kidding me. I'm like incredulous. So I pick up my book, and then right underneath my book is all the handwritten notes that I had for the third edition.
Oh,
so, like,
wow.
Just they were all just sitting there underneath the book in perfect shape, readable.
Oh, how lovely.
And so that comforted me for a long time. I didn't complain for a while after that. In the back of my head, I'm thinking, how do I get this book into print? How do I get this book into print? Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking, you know, pondering, because, I mean, at this point, we're living at a campsite. We've been without a house now for 3 days, 4 days, maybe a week. There's no, you know, we have no idea when we're getting back in a house. Like, everything is so unknown. So at this point, I'm percolating ideas. I wonder how long it would take me to type it. I wonder how long it would take me. I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So where we are right now is suddenly you find your handwritten notes. You actually find your book. Mm-hmm. The actual, like, something that someone... Now, when you found the book, this was not on a hard drive. This was an actual, your book, Immodesty, Satan's Virtue, the first print, as if, like, someone would have found it in a bookstore. This was actually the book, right?
Yes, it's the paper copy of it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in rough shape, but it was there.
Wow. So, did you ever find the hard drive with the manuscript on it?
At this point, we gathered up all of our hard drives and brought it to our computer. The same fellow that had recovered the manuscript the first time it got hit by lightning.
Mm-hmm.
So he took them all, and one of them he was not able to access. He said it's going to take more work. That is our main hard drive that would have contained everything. So we are still waiting to be able to get that done by someone who knows how to really take apart a hard drive. But he recovered this smaller, older hard drive. Like I said, we kept all of our old hard drives. Every time we would retire it, we just put it up in a room and kept them. Well, he was able to recover one of those. And on there was a copy of my book. And it was never changed since 2001. So it was the same manuscript with all the errors in it and mistakes. It was the same one. So I was able to at least start from there.
Rita, hang on just a second, because we're going to need to take a break, and we're going to come back and finish up this story. And I want to know about the book, Immodesty, Satan's Virtue. I want to know more about that, where you stand right now, and more with Rita Davidson, Immodesty, Satan's Virtue. This is an inspiring story.
It really is.
Really tap into that. We'll take a break here on Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com, your morning tradition, where we are
living our faith.
Faith.